Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses the current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. Stay tuned and listen to the movers and shakers in multifamily share their opinions and thoughts about what's old, what's new, and where the multifamily industry is heading in the future. You are listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Well, welcome and thank you for tuning in to Multifamily Matters, the only broadcast radio show in the nation that's solely dedicated to the multifamily industry. I am your host, Paul Marks, and we have a great show with a wonderful guest who is an expert on today's topic. And today we are discussing the topic of overcoming the talent shortage in multifamily. And joining me by phone is Stephanie Anderson, Industry Operations Manager with the National Apartment Association, who has also been a frequent guest of the show. Welcome, Stephanie.
Hi, Paul. Great to be here today.
Well, I appreciate you making the time, and you always have such great insight, obviously. Being at the center of things with the National Apartment Association, you know what's going on. And I got to tell you, this whole thing with talent shortage is kind of a recurring theme that I hear from people, how hard it is to find good people and the lengths that people go to try and recruit and find folks. Tell us a little bit about the impact of this issue.
You know, you're exactly right. This is definitely a topic that continues to trend, and multifamily professionals continue to bring it up time after time. So it seems that it's an issue that is here to stay. And collaboratively, we really want to work together to overcome these obstacles. Now more than ever, I think, Paul, everyone would agree that this is really an issue that continues to get a higher need for fixing. You know, the national unemployment rate right now is about 3.5% as of the end of November, and that's the lowest it's been since 1969. Uh-huh. So this is not only an issue in terms of multifamily. We have to think about it as a whole, that the unemployment rate is low. So, you know, more so than ever, we've got to take the talent that we already have in-house with our respectable organizations, and we have to really invest in that talent. You know, it's harder for us. We can't afford to lose great talent for something so small as 50 cents more an hour or an extra week of vacation time that some of the competitors may be offering. And, you know, this also comes as an issue with us when we talk about recent industry growth. They have conspired together with the low unemployment rates to really make recruitment and retention a big challenge. I'm sure you've heard many times before, especially on a national level, we have a real need for growth in multifamily. We're talking 4.6 million new apartments are needed by 2030. And that is just strictly to keep pace with our current demand.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, and one of the things that I've heard, and this is a little bit off topic, but you know, when I've talked to people that have said that they're not allowed by their companies to go attend different local association events or state association events or even national association events, because the reasoning that they say that the reason for that is that they're afraid their employer is afraid that they're going to find someplace else to work, and they're going to lose employees by sending them to these things. And I had a guest on the show recently when we were talking about this that said, you can't steal a happy employee. And I think that goes back to what you were saying about investing in your current team and developing them.
I couldn't agree with you more. You know, there's this funny comic that's out there, you know, that you might see time and time again. But it is showcasing a CFO and a CEO of a company. And the CFO asks, you know, what happens if we invest in developing our people and they leave us, right? So that financial commitment that we were just talking about, and you send your employees to these events and then they get stolen. And the CEO says, well, what happens if we don't and they stay?
Right.
So what happens when we don't invest in our people and they walk away anyway? You know, we would lose them either way. So keep them happy, like you said, and invest in them. It is so, so true. You know, our team at the National Apartment Association produces a quarterly report, and it details the jobs that are posted specifically in our industry for multifamily. And, you know, for the third quarter, because we haven't gotten our fourth quarter results yet, there were almost 37,000 new jobs posted in that time on a national level.
Wow.
And we break that down between property management, leasing, and maintenance. And right now we are seeing that maintenance is the highest that we're having a shortage of. It is really hard to find talent. And when you get talent, sometimes we lose them to other trades because they pay more or they don't have an on-call. Or, you know, there's some additional benefits there. But just as high are leasing. Leasing is right up there neck and neck with maintenance. And so that tells us right away that these jobs are being posted. Yes, some of them are from growth, but others are from the turnover and the lack of retention that companies are able to sustain to keep these positions alive.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the biggest issues that we've had with guests on the show that talk about the when it comes to talent and finding talent is the amount of turnover that they have. Is there anything new on the horizon or anything that NAA recommends to do about that?
You know, we are 100% into investing in people, and we even offer with our NAAEI, our Education Institute, programs such as credentials that you've heard about.
Sure.
Those are the programs that we're saying invest in your people, and it will help them do their jobs better. And for those who want to earn those credentials themselves and pay for it financially to do the personal development themselves, you know, that's going to get you more notice when it comes to being able to find a new company that works for that you would be valued for. But investing in your people, I mean, I like to say that that's the secret sauce, right? Everybody always wants to know, how do you get great people and then how do you keep them, right? What's the secret sauce there? And it's 110% investing in people, making them feel valued.
Yes, and investing in them also means making them accountable for certain things and giving them responsibility.
Absolutely.
I mean, I've heard several people say that they had some employees that were not doing anything special, but once they were given some responsibility and held accountable to be able to prove what they could do, that they started to shine. And you know, you've got to, I think, take a look at who you've got on your team already and see what you can do about having them do things like maybe lead safety meetings or things instead of just being somebody who's sitting up against the wall, listening. Let them take a part in it. I think that makes some kind of a difference.
A huge impact there, Paul. Completely huge impact, and little to your bottom line there. But what's the age old saying? People don't know what they don't know. And communication is huge here because when you talk about holding accountability here for employees, are you communicating that to them? Do they fully understand what being top talent in an organization means, at least within your respectful organization? And how are they going to meet and exceed those goals? And as a company, how are you helping them to get there?
And what are you seeing some of the companies do as far as when it comes to trying to determine the best road to start taking with this? Have you noticed anything new and different yet?
Well, you know, I do know that Alex O'Brien over at the Cardinal Group, they do some really cool things that I've been following. Bazuda's another one that's really innovative with this. But, you know, at the Cardinal Group, they do an assessment. They work with a company that right off the bat, they want to assess people that are interested in entering their organization to find out, do they share a belief such as, you know, your mission and value statement? And that's going to be a good connection right off the bat. And it's part of their candidate selection technology. They use a product called OneScore, W-O-N Score by Wunderlich. But there's tons of them out there, to be able to be used, but being able to assess what type of knowledge do these individuals have when they're coming into an organization, what's most important to them, how can we best invest in them? So then when the right person is found to come join that organization, it's helpful to be able to use that data, right, and to start ranking team members with that data and specific KPIs that you can use for baseline for training investment purposes.
You know, I've heard so many people talk about that are in the industry, whether they're an executive in the industry with a company or they're a regional manager or whatever it might be, that they will, whenever they go to a restaurant or a hotel or whatever it might be, they'll see someone who's giving great service and they'll give them a card. And that seems to be a common theme that a lot of people and a method that people use to try and find people to bring them into the industry. Have you noticed any, are there any programs out there from some of the universities that are starting to steer people towards the multifamily industry?
Absolutely. You know, I always go to Virginia Tech first because they have a phenomenal property management program that they offer, specific curriculum that gets you ready upon graduation to enter the workforce into multifamily and be prepared for the challenges and obstacles that we all face on a daily basis. So they're investing education in them straight off of the bat for that. But I think we're going to see a lot more of it. Even schools that are not geared 100% towards multifamily and property management, a lot of schools do have real estate programs. And I think it's all about awareness, getting it out there and making sure that people know that this is a great career path. With NAA, we have a program called RPM Careers, and I'm sure you've heard of it. Mm-hmm. And that's an opportunity for us to market to those individuals that have experience in sales and hospitality and to be able to encourage them to look at property management for a potential career opportunity. And we even, you know, have specific ads and information that we gear towards students, but also veterans, for instance, that have served our country and are looking for a different career path as they come back from serving us, and being able to know that property management is a career and it's a great career for people. You know, you mentioned the cards. That is still something alive and well. I would say people were easily doing that 20 years ago, and it's still happening right here today in our backyard. It is so great when you go somewhere and get amazing service to be able to tell that person, you're amazing and you should consider this opportunity, because the restaurant business, for instance, or hotels and other hospitality industries are really exhausting. Mm-hmm. Sometimes people are having to work 12-hour plus shifts and they're on their feet all day. And, you know, they make good money, but it's not necessarily where they see themselves 2, 5, 10 plus years down the road. And being able to make them aware that multifamily property management specifically is such a great opportunity for them, because just like them, we're all about the resident experience. So we want the customers to be really happy. And if they're able to give that great experience to anyone, whether it be serving food or interacting in a sales relationship, we want that, right? We want that in our communities for our residents.
All right. Well, we are going to be back with more about this great topic after these messages. You're listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Multifamily properties' water and sewer rates are skyrocketing every year. The only way to lessen the impact is to reduce water consumption through water conservation. E-Conserve has pioneered a no-cost, no-risk water conservation program, and it doesn't cost you a penny. A property in Houston is saving over $196,000 a year with this no-cost program. Call E-Conserve today at 713-662-3220. For a free analysis of your property, that's eConserve at 713-662-3220.
Do you have multiple multifamily properties in your portfolio? Take control of your unpredictable IT spending with our managed IT services. Whether you have 5 or 500 properties, CTS has you covered with 24/7 nationwide remote and on-site support. Our pricing allows you to budget IT costs year after year with a predictable flat monthly rate. CTS provides the expertise, management, support, and tech infrastructure for all your properties. Call 888-255-9715 or visit ctsglobaltech.com for a free quote.
In a world where keeping up with an ever-evolving technology landscape continues to be a challenge, Allegion helps property managers cut through the noise to supply their residents with the amenity most critical to the digital generation, mobile access control. Ideal for the multifamily market, Allegion has designed mobile-enabled solutions that streamlines access while providing the security and benefits for developers, property managers, and residents alike. To learn more about Allegion's access control product offerings, please visit usallegion.com/MFM.
Well, we are back and you are listening to Multifamily Matters, and we're discussing the topic of overcoming the talent shortage in multifamily. I'm Paul Marks. Joining me by phone is Stephanie Anderson, Industry Operations Manager with the National Apartment Association. And before we get back into the topic, I do want to remind our listeners, if you would like to provide show topics, guest ideas, suggestions, or just listen to any archived episode of Multifamily Matters, please go to our website at multifamilyradio.com. Stephanie, before we got out of the break, we were talking about some of the data that that you have regarding spending a certain amount of money on training employees to try and, I guess, improve not only their performance, but also give them more chances for upward mobility. Tell us a little bit about that data.
Well, you know, it's always funny. I don't like to stick too long with data, but I always firmly believe that the numbers don't lie. And I think being able to assess data like this and hear it really resonates with a lot of people and says, wow, pump the brakes. We have some problems here. Let's see how we can take care of it. There was a study with Burson, which is a large global company that looked into various aspects of companies and how they treat employees and how they invest in them. And what they found during this study was that if your company invested $1,500 on training per employee, and $1,500 might sound like a lot, especially if you're a smaller company, but keep in mind, we could be talking about on an annual basis, right? When you add up everything that they would do throughout the year, $1,500 per employee is really nothing at the end of the day. But let's just use that number here. What they found was that on average, 24% of those companies had higher gross profit margins right off the bat. Yeah. So easily explainable to, you know, any overhead you have is to say, look at our bottom line numbers here. What I found to be most powerful here was not just what we were making at the end of the day, but the amount of productivity that was gained. And when they studied more than 3,100 different companies, right off the bat with this investment, 8.6% showed a gain in productivity. Now, 8.6, I know, Paul, you're probably thinking that's not that much, Stephanie, but right off the bat, that's not even really taking, that's more of a mental thing, right? That's not even taking what you're learning and actually applying it. It's higher productivity rates because you're investing in your people, which is making them happier and making them want to be there.
And I would imagine that if they would have studied this, or maybe they did, as part of that study, that they had less turnover.
Absolutely. They had a lot less turnover. You know, they not only increased the profits here, and they didn't give us what the turnover was decreased by. They more focused on educational development, learning curves, increase of profits, and higher revenue per employee. But absolutely, there's going to be less. Once you're investing in people and they feel truly valued, there is going to be less turnover there.
So talent management, and specifically when it applies to training, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, you know, I tell companies quite a bit, when you're thinking about training, you got to be different. You can't just do the one-size-fits-all cookie-cutter box. You really need to start to evaluate your current training platform. And you need to request feedback from your team members on how to make it better, because your team members are the end users here. So you could have the best training platform in the world in your eyes, but if they're not learning something from it and it's not engaging to them, it's really not going to matter at the end of the day, because the information isn't being retained. So start to really think about the feedback here, and how can we incorporate a combination of learning opportunities that work well with diverse employee backgrounds, right? Because you have people working for your organizations of all ages, all experience, and all learning levels. So listen to how powerful this is. It's confirmed that we forget 90% of what we learn in a single session within 1 month, and 60% within 1 day. So if you know this, you need to develop learning programs that are going to overcome these challenges and make significant change. And constantly I'm asked by people, how do you do that? Well, if I could give you all the answers, Paul, in this one segment, I mean, you know, people would be ruling the world, and right, all the secret sauce would be out there. But, you know, all jokes aside, it really starts with leaders fostering a culture of learning, because it starts from the top. So if your leaders of your organization aren't truly engaged in investing in the employees on a level of learning and encouraging that learning, that's the first step. That's really going to set the baseline for everything you do after.
And when training is from the standpoint of the different levels within an organization, I mean, obviously your frontline folks that are at the properties on the staffs on site, that's a major area where training is needed, because you generally sometimes are getting the new kids on the block coming in there who haven't had a lot of experience. And then as you move up the food chain with your regional managers and supervisors and so forth, there's training for them. It may not be the same thing. So tell us a little bit about what's out there for those different positions.
I mean, it really is multifaceted, because you do have all these different levels. But I think where some companies miss the mark right off the bat is they focus so much on teaching individuals what they need to know to do that exact current job, right? Mm-hmm. So, yes, it is super important that your leasing consultants have really great knowledge of the resident experience. They need to know the sales process, because we have to lease homes, right? They need to be able to provide excellent customer service, because that's a part of the process. But they also need to know the other bases of the business. They should have a grander understanding of how it all works, so that they're not just sitting on the front end and only doing what's happening in the front end and then passing the residents off to the next person. They really need to have a grander understanding of the entire process. And a lot of that does come from cross-training, being able to know what other positions in your company and within your community are doing and how they do those things. You know, when we talk about promoting, when we talk about programs, everybody should be training to learn the next step up. But I think that there's five key things here, Paul, that need to take place in any training environment, right? You have five things that you need to do. You have to create an environment for happy employees. If learning is something that people feel like they have to do, it's a chore, it's too much work, I have more important things to do, they're not engaged, they don't want to do it, and they're not going to retain the information. You have to demonstrate positive reinforcement. So create the habit that if I do something with training, I'm getting positive reinforcement because I'm getting something out of it, whether it's going to be cross-training, promoting employees, a raise later on down the road, even using things like gamification, right? That immediate experience of, yes, I did something great. You know, it doesn't have to necessarily be a prize, but it's something that they know that's fulfilling within them, and it keeps them happy about it. You're boosting employee engagement, right? We talked about that earlier. They want to be there. It's a happy work environment. You're going to increase employee performance. Hello, your owners are going to be super stoked because employee performance is going to be tied directly to your bottom line. Mm-hmm. And then you're going to improve those retention rates. So you're going to keep great people in your organization, and we don't have to stress so much over recruiting new talent to your organization. So five things, very key here.
I mean, that all makes sense. I know that a lot of people, you know, when they go, the very number one thing you were talking about as far as getting the employee to be engaged in it, when they feel like they're overworked, what do you recommend? How do you recommend getting past that? Because they say, well, I don't have time to train because I've got too much on my plate already.
Yeah, that's a common thing we hear constantly, right? Mm-hmm. I just need a warm body in the office. I'm really busy and I don't have time. I think we have to remind ourselves that let's take even a day to, you know, invest in people. And some companies will have where a new employee doesn't even come on site for the first 1 to 3 days,
right,
while they're going through an orientation program and learning the culture of the organization and learning what their role is going to be and how to best do that. And I know that that's hard, right? Because that's easier said than done when you have two openings at a property and you have tons of work orders and new move-ins and you're like, just give me a warm body at this point.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's really important to know that the time you invest up front is going to make all the difference in the end for everyone involved.
All right. Well, we've got to take a break. We're going to be back after these messages. You are listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Tired of being burned by your carpet vendor? Nobody has you covered like Rasa Floors. They lead the industry with same-day service and cutting-edge technology, like their online ordering portal and mobile app, so you can place orders instantly. The professionals at Rasa Floors are the industry experts, offering the hottest new styles of carpet and hard surfaces that will help you achieve your goals. Visit them on social media, watch their videos, and look for them at local trade shows. Rasa Floors will help you make ready your apartment homes for new residents. For more information, visit RasaFloors.com.
Looking for cost savings and curb appeal?
Call WaterLogic, the nation's specialist in multifamily property water management. Using interactive, smart water technology, WaterLogic's professionals can help you save up to 40% on irrigation water annually, potentially adding tens of thousands of dollars back into your budget. Call WaterLogic at 713-983-9555 for a no-cost irrigation usage analysis. Your property will look great, and you'll be a hometown hero.
Do you have multiple multifamily properties in your portfolio? Take control of your unpredictable IT spending with our managed IT services. Whether you have 5 or 500 properties, CTS has you covered with 24/7 nationwide remote and on-site support. Our pricing allows you to budget IT costs year after year with a predictable flat monthly rate. CTS provides the expertise, management, support, and tech infrastructure for all your properties. Call 888-255-9715 or visit ctsglobaltech.com for a free quote.
Well, we are back and you are listening to Multifamily Matters. And today we're discussing the topic of overcoming the talent shortage in multifamily. I'm Paul Marks. Joining me by phone is Stephanie Anderson, Industry Operations Manager with the National Apartment Association. I do want to take a moment and thank our exclusive sponsors that make Multifamily Matters possible. E-Conserve, providing multifamily water conservation solutions for properties across the U.S. Rasa Floors, the professional flooring advisor specializing in make-ready replacement flooring for the multifamily industry throughout Texas and Oklahoma. Allegion, a leading provider of mobile-enhanced products and solutions for efficient access control within multifamily properties. WaterLogic, the smarter way to water, providing professional irrigation water management. And CTS, complete technology solutions, making managed IT an easy business decision for multifamily. So, Stephanie, I know one of the things we wanted to talk about during the show today was what you've termed as the generation gap, and I've got to admit, my listeners know I've said it many times that I'm a dinosaur. I'm old. I've been around a long time, and you know I can remember in multifamily when there was no such thing as online reviews because there was no such thing as the internet, and you know my how the tables have turned and things have changed, not only with technology and things, but just the fact that the people that are employed in our industry have different knowledge bases and attention spans and so forth, and you've got to manage for that. So tell us a little bit about your thoughts on that.
So effectively managing current workforce demographics, and let's be honest, when we say managing people is difficult. And I think if you ask anyone who is in a leadership role, whether their title says so or not, when you're dealing with people, it can be extremely difficult, and it's probably easily 60% of what we do, and that's on the lesser side. I'm going to be generous here with the holidays, but you know, it is difficult to manage people. So on top of everything we've talked about today and investing in our people, we now have to think at the forefront of our workforce demographics. So for the first time, we actually have five different generations that are currently working in the workforce. So if you are managing people or even interacting with people on a daily basis, you have to keep this in mind in terms of your training programs that you set up and when you think about recruiting and retaining top talent. And when I talk about five different generations, Paul, I want to make this simple for our listeners here. You've got your traditionalists. Those were born before 1946. And keep in mind, they are still in the workforce, you know, and I know when we start talking about age and some people, it's not as easy to retire, especially financially, as it was many years ago. So you're going to have older workforce demographics. You've got baby boomers. So those were about, 1946 to 1964. You've got Generation X. Those are about 1965 to 76. You have your millennials, which some people refer to them as Generation Y. That's going to be about 1977 to 1997. And then you've now got Generation Z. So those are babies that are entering the workforce. They were born after 1997. So those are your five demographics that are currently working, not just in our business, but all the business. And keep in mind, they all learn very differently. They interact differently. Think about technology, Paul. That one blows my mind. You've got people who are in this industry that are having to now use platforms when they used to do everything solely on paper.
Exactly.
That's a change.
That's me. that's my background. But, you know, I mean, it's at some point in time, those people will be out of the workforce and everybody's going to be up to speed on all the technology and so forth. But until that time, you, as you said, you've got to make allowances and manage the people based on what, you know, what their base of knowledge is and what their base of expertise and experience is. Isn't that correct?
It is very correct. And you make a valid point here. I mean, when I think about my children, right, they are already learning technology pretty much coming out the womb.
Right.
They know how to use cell phones better than myself and my parents and so forth. So it is interesting that there is going to come a time when everyone in the workforce will be, you know, high on technology and be able to understand that. But for now, I mean, think about it. They, you know, there was a study or statistic that came out through Pew Research Center. And by 2024, about 25% of our workforce is going to be projected to be over the age of 55.
Mm.
So 4 years from now, 25% of the workforce is going to be over age 55. And I'm not saying they don't use technology. Obviously, they do. But you've got to keep in mind that their learning styles and how they operate are still going to differ from the younger generation. And how do we become at the forefront of this? Instead of being so reactive, how are we being proactive in our approach to invest in these people? So obviously we know our heavy focus is going to be on millennials because they are still the largest generation in the workforce and they will continue to be for years to come. But one of the largest mistakes that I see a lot of companies make is they assume that the younger generations, especially millennials, are the ones that they have leading the pack because they're very multifaceted in terms of they use the technology, they love it, but they can be kind of old school about things and their management styles can be old school. So they feel, companies feel that that is a great combination, right, of old versus new. But what we're finding is that that doesn't always make sense. So what I like to tell companies is consider cross-generational mentoring opportunities. Instead of saying that one person is great to mentor everyone within a property manager position, break down the duties, roles, and responsibilities of that position and find out who does the best at what and make sure it's cross-generational because you're older employees have the experience level that you're younger, no matter how much technology you give them, they don't have that level of firsthand experience and knowledge. And so coupling the two together is going to be key here, but you've got to make sure that you're cross-mentoring opportunity between these five different generations. You've got to close that gap.
Do you feel like that there's a lot of awareness of this as a potential issue that needs to be addressed amongst the different companies out there, or do you think that they're just taking a one-size-fits-all approach?
I don't think that there's enough awareness about it. I think they understand the value of training. Most companies do, and I would even go so far as say most companies fight for it. You know, when we talk about training, it is one thing that gets cut down, especially during budget season. I get it. There's not always a direct ROI that's easy to pinpoint to owners about the success of a property or a company based on training solely. But I do think that awareness plays a key role here. And I think them understanding the one size doesn't fit all, because when you roll out a training program, many companies only have one trainer, if any, or they may just use a technology platform to do all of the training. And they say, well, I've got it in place. I'm under compliance here. So my liability is reduced because I have these classes that they can take, but they're not engaging, you know, their employees. And more importantly, they don't see that there's the gaps here between these generations, that you have to shorten those gaps. You have to make them smaller and allow for a multi-system approach when it comes to training.
You know, you made a very good point. And when I think about it, I think that there are so many companies out there or people that I've talked to in the industry that say, you know, we have a training program in place, and it seems like it's a box they're checking, that it's
yes.
It's something that they just want to be, as you said, to be in compliance with different things, or to be able to say, yes, we train our employees, as opposed to saying, how can I create the best, most effective training program so that it does affect my bottom line in a positive manner, and it does make my turnover rate less than everyone else's, and I can keep track and keep the best employees. And I'm sure there's companies out there that handle it that way, but it seems like a lot of companies are just checking that box. What have you found?
Absolutely, they're just checking the box. And you know, the simple question of, like, when you ask someone, how are you doing? It's something that people fail to do when it comes to a business relationship. Having your higher level executives and leaders within an organization, asking those in the front line, those that are on our site level, working in the field, as we call it, you know, front lines of handling our communities, they're running multi-million dollar assets. Ask them, what do you want to know more of? What kind of training can I give you? Do you prefer to have training and engagement that's online using technology platforms? Do you want one-on-one training, small classroom training? Do you appreciate mentor-type opportunities where you can work one-on-one with someone who's done this job for a period of time and excels well in it? And that, you know, there's all these different ways and programs and things to do, but if you're not asking them, they're not always going to give you that information. But it's important that once you ask for that information, that you are taking that data and actually doing something with it and taking it back to the organization and say, this makes most sense. They're asking for these training opportunities, and we may not be able to afford some of this, but it's a start in that communication we spoke about earlier to say, this is, I'm hearing what you're saying, and we're going to implement it in what makes best sense for our company, but not a one-size-fits-all.
Yeah, and, you know, communication, I think, is something that that oftentimes people don't think enough about, because a lot of that has to communication is the key to not only how you operate with your employees on the front lines and how they operate with the residents, but, you know, also when it comes to communicating how they can do their jobs better. And it seems to me like a lot of times people have one way of communicating and they're not thinking about maybe that's not the most effective way.
Absolutely. And please don't wait until it's an annual review to tell these employees what they're doing great and what they really need improvement on. It has to be constant feedback because, again, I circle back to what I told you earlier. People don't know what they don't know. Help
right.
them.
Right. All right. Well, we are going to take a break, and we will be back with our final segment of this episode of Multifamily Matters. You've been listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
In a world where keeping up with an ever-evolving technology landscape continues to be a challenge, Allegion helps property managers cut through the noise to supply their residents with the amenity most critical to the digital generation, mobile access control. Ideal for the multifamily market, Allegion has designed mobile-enabled solutions that streamlines access while providing the security and benefits for developers, property managers, and residents alike. To learn more about Allegion's access control product offerings, please visit usallegion.com/MFM.
Your multifamily property's water and sewer rates are skyrocketing every year. The only way to lessen the impact is to reduce water consumption through water conservation. E-Conserve has pioneered a no-cost, no-risk water conservation program, and it doesn't cost you a penny. A property in Houston is saving over $196,000 a year with this no-cost program. Call E-Conserve today at 713-662-3220 for a free analysis of your property. That's E-Conserve at 713-662-3220.
Tired of being burned by your carpet vendor? Nobody has you covered like Rasa Floors. They lead the industry with same-day service and cutting-edge technology, like their online ordering portal and mobile app, so you can place orders instantly. The professionals at Rasa Floors are the industry experts offering the hottest new styles of carpet and hard surfaces that will help you achieve your goals. Visit them on social media, watch their videos, and look for them at local trade shows. Rasa Floors will help you make ready your apartment homes for new residents. For more information, visit rasafloors.com.
Well, we are back with our final segment of this episode of Multifamily Matters, and we are discussing the topic of overcoming the talent shortage in multifamily. I'm Paul Marks. Joining me by phone is Stephanie Anderson, Industry Operations Manager with the National Apartment Association. And Stephanie, I know we wanted to talk in this last segment about the opportunities for resolution when it comes to how to overcome the talent shortage and some ideas that people could put into practice. To tell us your thoughts on that.
I love sharing ideas, you know, things that, our listeners can take back and, talk about it with their executives and decision makers in their company. One of the ones that I always hear about is, and I mentioned this earlier, that you will have employees that will be tempted to leave your organization, especially if they're not 100% happy. And other companies will come through and they'll say, I'll offer you 50 more cents an hour, or I'll give you an extra week of paid vacation time. And, vacation time, by the way, is just, you can't put a price on that, right? People value their time outside of the workplace and that whole work-life balance. So I found this to be really interesting. Glassdoor, which I'm sure you've heard of, mm-hmm. is a company where you can go on and read about other organizations, not just strictly multifamily, and find out how employees have rated these said companies to see if it's a place that you would want to work at. And they, during a survey, they found out that 57% of their job candidates have reported benefits and perks are among their top considerations before accepting a job. So it's not just, is the hiring manager awesome and inviting? Does the company have a great platform? They do good in the world. They love their people. You know, it's so much more than just the values that the company has. It's also what's in it for me, right? What's good for the goose? So what can you do when you go back to your own company and, reevaluate? I like to think about creative benefit packages. What can your company offer that companies A, B, and C are not already doing? So when you think about that, think about things that might not even cost money. Could you offer, you know, time off for volunteering? Could you offer bring your pet to work day? Could you offer, you know, flexible scheduling, allowing people to, come in early and leave a little early so that they can take care of a sick child, an ailing parent, or just take care of life in general? Offering remote work opportunities. So it's great that, hey, I don't have to drive into work every Thursday. I'm able to do my job at home. I'm more productive doing it on those days. And, you know, it makes me feel good that my company trusts me, that they don't need me to sit there and, watch me do my job because they trust that I'm going to do it and do it really, really well. And then, of course, there's opportunities that would cost your company some money to your bottom line, but they're really meaningful, like tuition reimbursement, saying, I believe in you so much that I want to invest in your education because you're going to bring what you learned back to our company and you're going to be able to make us a better company for it. Or what about leave share programs, sharing leave with other people that may need it because they have a sickness and they need to take off time, or they're able to share it for a parent that doesn't get paternity or maternity leave or so forth. Health and wellness programs, because when you feel good, you do good. Being able to offer extra benefits to employees and, allowing them to dictate if it's something that they want or not.
Yeah, I think those are all great ideas. And, I mean, hopefully some of the folks in our audience that are listening will take heed of that. What other items do you,
well, you know, diversity and inclusion is a hot topic right now. It is something that is out there that people are looking for. Before people apply to an organization, they like to go and look at, what does your corporate team look like? Many company websites, especially multifamily, you can click on their website and the management company leaders will show up. Are they all middle-aged white men? I'm going to just put that out there.
Sure.
Are they? Do you have some diversity in terms of ethnicity and sex and so forth? That is important to people, so much so that Glassdoor said 67% of their job seekers consider diversity a major factor when they are evaluating job opportunities. They want to know, how is your company evolving and what impact are you making on the future leadership of that company?
And so that's not something that is necessarily easy to resolve quickly.
Correct. It's not. It takes time.
Yeah.
But I think acknowledging within the company, and first of all, if you don't have diversity, don't put pictures on your website.
Right.
Because that will not hinder people right off the bat. But I think letting people know, if they are all older leaders, saying these are our future leaders, and developing some part of your website that talks about the generation coming up and what opportunities you're providing for them to be executive leaders in your company. So you're acknowledging it and you have a plan in place and how you're going to get there, and sharing that with people.
I think that's a great idea for two reasons. Number one, as you mentioned, for, you know, diversity, to show that the company is going to be changing over, you know, over a period of time, but also to be able to empower that younger generation, to let them know, you know, what's in store for them.
Absolutely. I love that term, empowering. It is so important to employees.
Yeah. Okay, what else you got?
You know, first impressions really matter. Think about when you've met anyone in your time. You know, we even train leasing consultants to say the first 6 seconds of meeting or having an interaction with a potential prospect, they're deciding right there, not only are they going to move there, but if they move there, are they going to renew, right? Mm-hmm. 6 seconds to impress. So when you talk about the possibility of having employees that you not only want to recruit, but then you want to retain, you want to put a high focus on mentoring and onboarding and that entire process, because you want to avoid early turnover and you want to promote longevity within your organization. And so you want to ensure that new employees, from the moment they meet anybody from your organization, that they have a smooth and welcoming experience and that they want to tell others about it. Seems simple, right? But
right.
It's so effective.
You know, and I see different posts on different social media about people who start their new positions and the way that they're evidently impressed enough to post it on what their onboarding looked like and so forth.
Yes.
And I guess that's what you want to see if you're an employer. You want to see people who are promoting that, because that ultimately is going to hopefully attract other people to come to work for you.
Absolutely. The power of word of mouth is so strong.
Any other takeaways for the listeners?
I would say the biggest one here would be encouraging personal development. And that is something that comes along with your company culture. It's something that all leaders within your organization must be encouraging. And when I say personal development, it means not only are you promoting what they're doing in the workplace, but you're also helping them to be better people and to develop themselves professionally, maybe even if it is for other opportunities. And some simple takeaways here, offer headshots to your team leaders, your property managers, your maintenance supervisors, because headshots make them feel really important. And no, it's not just so they can put on a resume or go out and get another job. It's also so that they can say, you know, I won this award, or my company did this for me and they invested in me. You know, talk to them about discussing those personal and professional goal settings. And do that more than just annual or quarterly reviews. You know, let them tell you what their goals are. My personal goal for years was to be able to take my three children to Disney World. And when we did that last year, it was important for the people around me to all, you know, parade and clap and say, this is great, because it was something that had nothing to do with the workplace, but I had to set it up financially and I had to plan it. And it was something that, you know, it took a lot of preparation outside of work to do. And it was super meaningful for me. So to have a leader who, you know, believed in me and was happy for the progress that I had made meeting that goal was truly important. And then doing other things like promoting them to go to conferences and seminars, even if it's a topic outside of the industry, but it's something that they could relate to what they do. And having team building events like creating vision boards. We're coming up on January. It's the new year, Paul. People are starting to set goals in place. Let them have a team building event where they create vision boards of what they want things to look like in 2020. Where do they want to be professionally and personally?
No, I think all of that is great. And what part does NAA play in all this?
You know, they're not going to pay me to say this, but I'll say that they hit every single one of these across the board. And that's what's so refreshing, is that they do promote diversity and inclusion. We have an amazing team in place that comes from all different backgrounds, arenas, ethnicities. And it's amazing to watch that and to see how successful our organization is, because we don't all think alike. We don't all look alike, and we certainly don't all share the same ideas, but we all share the same end goal. How we get there is what differs, and that's what makes our organization so successful. Personal development, they're always encouraging you to go out and do something different and to better yourself, because when you're bettering yourself, you're going to be a better employee.
And as far as opportunities for training and so forth, I know that local apartment associations offer the certifications through NAA. If someone was interested in that, they contact their local association. Is that the way you would recommend it?
Absolutely. The local apartment associations hold these classes throughout the year. Depending on how large the association is, depends on how often they hold them. So sometimes they may only have, you know, a certified apartment manager class once or twice a year or so forth. But know that you can actually take them online anytime, 365 days a year, 24 hours a day, when you go directly to our website for the National Apartment Association. It's naahq.org. You can find out about our credentialing programs, and you can be able to take those online. I do encourage in-class when possible, because you get to have that camaraderie with other industry colleagues, and you get to have really meaningful conversation. But if that doesn't work for you or the location isn't great, you can still get the same education here right online, and then use it at your convenience.
Yeah, I've been to many of those classes, and I've developed friendships with the people who, I was in the class with, as well as with the instructors, and it's very rewarding to be able to develop those friendships and those relationships over time. We have 2 minutes left. I do want to ask you. I ask you every time you're on. To tell our listeners how you got started in the industry. And then also, I know that you've got some special things that are your interest that you talk about and on a national basis as well as that you're involved in. Why don't you tell our listeners about that?
Absolutely. So I've been in the industry 14 years now. I did not wake up and say, man, I can't wait to be a property manager, as most people in our industry at this point did not do. It was an industry I fell into while I was in college. I was able to get a rent discount and lease that worked with my college classes. I fell in love, and the rest is history. 14 years later, I've held a multitude of positions, both at the entry level of leasing all the way up through director roles. I'm working in multiple regions, and, you know, this business is addicting, and I love it, and I think most of our listeners would agree with me there. And so one of the things that I found to be really important in my career is advocating for women, and specifically women in leadership. When I went to college, I graduated with 2 degrees, one in English literature and one in women's studies. And the women's studies to me is so important because I love to empower women. I want to empower women to get their seat at the table, right, and then be able to have meaningful conversation with impactful changes once they're at that table, because we are failing as women at this point to have but so many leadership positions, and we need to continue to grow that and open up opportunity for women. And so I love to empower them and speak about that any chance that I get. So thank you so much for asking that, Paul.
So, Stephanie, if someone wanted to get in touch with you to talk to you about speaking or to find out more about NAA, how can they do that?
The easiest way, obviously, you can shoot me an email, sanderson@naahq.org. LinkedIn is another one of my favorites. Just look up Stephanie Anderson with the National Apartment Association. And if you're more into the world of social media, you can find me on Twitter, sanderson_cam. And, you know, I'm happy to connect with people. I love sharing my knowledge, and I love meeting new people.
That's
so please,
right.
Don't hesitate.
Well, thank you so much for being on. We certainly are going to have you on again and many times in the future. You always bring a lot of knowledge and experience and expertise to our listeners. So we're going to be back next week with another great topic and power panel of industry experts. You've been listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Thank you for listening to Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. To find out more about the show or make suggestions for topics or interesting guests, go to multifamilyradio.com. You have been listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.